You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning and welcome to Lifelong Journey. We're here from the Office of Lifelong Formation with the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission. And beside me is Pablo Padilla. Welcome, Pablo.
Hi, hello, Patricia. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. Everything's going smooth so far, so I'm happy about that.
Good. And how have you getting through that weather?
Well, you know, we get through it. We make the best of it, and always thankful to God that we still, you know, have a wonderful winter in Chicago, and that it is not disappointing.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We love it all. I was looking at the trees and thinking, wow, and all this is the glory of God. Look at the beauty of the snow and the trees, the ice. What a fingerprint present for all of us to see, huh? Well, we're very happy this morning because we have two very special guests with us from Loyola Press. And our first guest is Joellen Cicerelli. She is the president of Loyola Press, and she has had an amazing life with what she does for Loyola. But also before that, she has been so blessed. She was the editor for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So, Joellen, welcome. And if you could share a little bit more about yourself, we'd be very happy.
Sure. Thanks so much for having us. So, my name is Joellen. I began my career at Loyola Press about 10 years ago. I started as the director of curricula development, so I ran the textbook division for faith formation. Prior to that, I was in educational publishing and publishing for a long time. And prior to that, I was a school teacher. I taught grades 2 through 5 for 7 years. Early in my career, I was very fortunate to be Fred Rogers' editor for 2 years. I did 12 books with Fred, and I'm still very good friends with the neighborhood. In fact, we had a guest come and speak to Loyola Press, Hedda Sharapan, who is featured prominently in the new documentary. So we were really blessed to have her come in and talk about Fred's work and legacy. So I love my job. I love coming to work every day, and I love getting to come and talk to folks like you. So thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. And Joellen, I just have to ask, from those 2 years, what still stays with you? What do you carry with you?
Sure. I think the two things that Fred taught me most, the first one is that we have to honor children and people wherever they are, and that they come to the world as whole beings, and so you have to treat them as such, and not think that they are vessels to be filled, but that they are of value because they are born and they are full and whole when they arrive. And then the second real lesson he taught me was he taught me that we have to help adults learn how to speak to children in a way that honors and respects who they are as whole people. And so we had lots and lots of long conversations about how to do that. He's exactly the same in real life as he was on TV, which makes for very interesting and sometimes humorous conversations. And it was an amazing 2 years. And I feel so blessed. My daughter was 2 at the time, so I was actually the demographic he was trying to reach. And so it was an amazing time for me in my career. I'm so lucky to have been able to do it so young.
Oh, I thank you for sharing that with us, because actually what you've experienced there and what you said is it's so important that the adults and the seniors really share their wisdom with the young. And so that's what our show is about today. Where do we find wisdom in the world today? Who is wise? Who does the world claim is wise? But who do we, with the lens of faith, bring about wisdom? And also with us Pablo, I'd like for you to introduce. We're so happy to have Santiago Cortez Kohlberg with us. So welcome.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you. Welcome. So same thing. It's basically in terms of your own personal experience and, you know, how did you end up getting involved and engaged in ministry and to the degree that you ended up working at Loyola Press?
I first did study theology here in Chicago. So you can tell by my accent that I am not from Chicago. I'm not from the U.S. either. I was born in South America, in Colombia, but not from Colombian parents. And so there I was not Colombian. We were just talking, Jolan and I, last week about this. Then we went to Spain, but because I was born in South America, in Spain, I was not Spaniard. And then I came to the United States when I was a teenager to learn English first. And here I was not American either. I was a Spaniard. And so I've been moving around, you know, always been in different countries. And once I came to the United States, I came to learn English. And then I decided that what I wanted to do was study theology. And that's the main reason I stayed in Chicago. And after that, I went into teaching. So I was in high school teaching for a few years. I've always considered myself a teacher. And it was during my time as a high school teacher that I started helping Loyola Press with some of their Spanish materials. And because we focus a lot in education, I saw that natural tie between being a teacher and educating through books and sharing the good news through books. And one thing linked to another, and I left my teaching part, at least with high schoolers, and I went full-time with publishing, educational and spiritual publishing.
And I know that I was also reading in your biography that you recently had participated and were part of the process of the Fifth National Encuentro, which is something that we here in Chicago were also very much engaged with. Any thoughts that you'd like to express from the Encuentro itself and how it has maybe collected a series of experiences that you've had from the ministry that you've been working on since you started with it?
Yeah, so I was in the national leadership team for Encuentro from even, you know, before it actually was officially announced, we started working on it. Loyola Press was one of the four padrinos of Encuentro. So from the very beginning, even with the early conversations with USCCB, with the Bishops' Conference, was how can Loyola support the Latino community, not just for the national event, but for the whole process, leading, you know, all the parish, diocesan, regional Encuentros. And now, actually, we are, you know, working as well with the post-Encuentro. So how can we accompany and be with the people, both personally and as a ministry of the Jesuits, as Loyola Press, how can we walk with the people throughout the entire Encuentro and post-Encuentro process? It was a beautiful event, just to see the vitality of the church on the one hand, and also the good news that the Encuentro brought to the U.S. church. At a time where there is oftentimes a lot of bad news about the church, this gave, and sometimes even division, and this showed the good news and the positive life that the Hispanic Catholics bring, and how the bishops were welcoming all that life that the Hispanics are bringing to the church and say, okay, let's bring revitalize, you know, let's listen to the Hispanic experience. What can we learn? What can we teach? It was a true communion of the U.S. church at that point. It was a beautiful experience.
Why, thank you for sharing that. And what can we learn? We'll be right back to talk more about that.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you highlights from the major Respect Life activities that recently took place in Chicago. We'll visit one of our local Catholic schools where teachers and students are embracing the concept of personalized learning. And we'll talk with the director of the Institute for Lay Formation at the University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein Seminary.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Welcome back, and we are moving along here, moving this train along. And one of the main reasons that we have, there's many reasons why we have our guests here, but what really was the link that drew us together is a new book. It's called The Wisdom of Time, and it is truly where any one of us can find a treasure trove of wisdom, which is so needed for the young, for the children, and also for adults. We never complete this journey. It is a lifelong journey until it is done and we are you know, with our Lord. But in the meantime, there's always ups and downs. There's great things that happen. There's sorrowful things that happen. And how do we get through it all? How is it that some people are wise, or they appear to be wise? And so this is an amazing collection. It's a collection of stories globally. And Joellen, I'd like for you to tell us, how did this come about?
Sure. So in 2015, Loyola Press had developed a children's book called Dear Pope Francis, where we had collected letters from children around the world. They had asked Pope Francis questions, and he had responded. Later on, in 2015, Father Antonio Spadaro came to us from Rome, and he said, you know, Pope Francis has been inspired, and he would like another book. He would like a bookend to the children's book. He'd like to hear the wisdom of the elders, because he has a strong desire to create an alliance between young people and old people so that youth can learn from the wisdom of the elders. So he asked that we gather stories from elders from around the world, which is quite an endeavor that we embarked upon. And in its culmination, we developed this book, Sharing the Wisdom of Time. We say it's by Pope Francis and friends, because Pope Francis acts as one of the elders in this book. He shares his own stories and some that have never, ever been shared before. And he also provides reflections on some of the elders' wisdom that they have shared. And so that's kind of the background for the book. It was made on behalf of Pope Francis. And it's a gift he wants to give to the church.
When you talk about reflection, our world is so busy. We have noise everywhere, distractions, things that are headlines or on the radio or, you know, things that take our mind away from really what's so important. So could you share a little bit about those reflections with us?
Absolutely. So we divided the stories into five different themes. And Santiago, you can help me with these. Work.
Struggle. Love. Death. And hope.
And those themes naturally emerged. We had gathered over 200 stories from people from all over the world, all walks of life. A woman from Mexico who works to gather garbage and sells it so she can survive, all the way to Martin Scorsese, the film director. So we have people from six continents. We have people who are very well known and people whose stories are being illuminated for the very, very first time. So all of these reflections, all of this wisdom is given on behalf of them to the church, to the world, and to the young people so that they can learn from it. We've crystallized these reflections so that they, the most important parts of the message are shared. I'm just thrilled with what we've been able to accomplish with this book. We've heard from several people that they begin their day now reading a different story from this book during the day and sort of dedicate themselves to that sort of theme for the day. So
a special way of prayer.
It is.
Now, I know I was fortunate to have a conversation with you before, and when we were in conversation, I had asked you about a special story that really touched your heart that you wanted to share with our listeners because it was so significant to you.
Uh-huh.
So you sent and shared with me information about Father Greg Boyle, whom I was very blessed to have actually sat with a multitude of people when he spoke at the LA Congress. He was phenomenal. Everyone gave him a standing ovation. And, you know, it's like, okay, wait a minute, I can listen to him all day. And he is actually the one that has created, developed, and sustains, by the grace of God, Homeboy Industries. So he works with a lot of youth that have basically found not the best route in life, and has led to trials and hardship and suffering and a criminal walk in many ways through the criminal justice system. Father Boyle brings the gospel alive. So let's take a moment to listen to what Father Boyle has to share in his ways of wisdom.
I think this place reminds you that that we need a better God than the one we have, you know? That sometimes we settle for this lesser God, this partial God, this puny God, this more realistic God than the God we actually have.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks remind you of the God who we actually have, you know?
How so?
Well, you know, because you've got people who are a whole lot more than the worst things they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And that God looks at them and says, you're kin and you belong to me. And now society doesn't say that, and people who are God-fearing and mm-hmm. claim God
mm-hmm.
will kind of think God draws lines when it comes to these folks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. And so we're always doing battle with the God we've created in our own image, you know, the
mm-hmm.
God who, you know, wants to be exalted and distant and far and praised even,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
when we've got a God who wants to be close and intimate and hold us and be tender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of important to me. And I've learned that here in this place of a community of tenderness, really. This is a place that will remind you that the highest form of spiritual maturity is tenderness, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, folks who will remind you and teach you how to be tender and kind and gentle aren't the kind and the gentle. It's usually the people who test those things in you.
Mm.
And so that's what happens around this place, I think.
We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fusilet from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Welcome back, and we are going to take a moment to continue on after hearing that beautiful segment by Father Greg Boyle. And Pablo, I'm going to ask you to jump right in with this. How did this touch your heart, Pablo?
Well, it's great that we heard Father Greg Boyle. Quite personally, and in all honesty, I have a little bit of a bias, and I'm a kind of like a cheerleader for him and his work. I have never gotten the chance to actually heard him speak live or have been to a conference where he's at, but I have followed the work that he does mostly because of my work with youth and young adults in the city of Chicago and the level of realities that he works with. So it was very moving for me to listen to this audio piece, especially in two areas. One where he speaks about the immensity of God and the greatness of God that is, versus what challenges me sometimes is the image I may have of God that is somewhat limiting, that is somewhat, to a certain degree, for my, and I'm speaking just for my own self, somewhat even comfortable. But, you know, here he's talking about a God that is basically limitless, and in many ways does not have any caps to the mercy. And he talks about, you know, us realizing that there is this God, or him understanding that there is this God, just by working in his own ministry. So I wanted to ask you, Santiago, if you wouldn't mind, it's just what reactions do you have, or what thoughts do you have around, you know, understanding God as is in the context of the infinite mercy that Father Greg Boyle talks about, and the sometimes limited idea that we may have of God?
Well, you know, and again, you know, part of this is just speaking personally, but I think oftentimes we give God human qualities, because that's what we know. We know what, you know, other people, we know this world, and so we give God some of the qualities that we think people have, and we just make them big, but, you know, and so we think of, oh, God is loving. But we have to think, well, no, because we think that God is loving like a parent is loving. It's like, no, God is even more loving than a parent is loving. We have to go beyond the limits that our humanity puts. And that is what is, I think, is difficult for us to grasp, is the immensity that you were saying of God. Oftentimes also we think that, you know, God is only in the sacred moments of church and liturgy or religious experiences. And one of the things is, no, God is present always, everywhere. You know, we were listening to Boyle, and you could hear all the noise in the background. He didn't say, you know, oh, let's have this interview in this quiet. He's like, let's talk about God here where I'm at, because this is where God is, in the noise of life. And so I think oftentimes for us, we see God how we want to see God, not how God truly is. And also because the message, you know, through his son, it's, even though it's simple, it's really hard to do. So it's like, if we say God is fully merciful and immensely merciful, that means we are called to be also merciful in the way that the Father is merciful. And that can be scary. If we say God is love, and we say God is infinite love, is calling us to love infinitely. And that is scary as well. And so I think part of it is we're just afraid of, because it is not easy to do what God is calling us to do, which is to be like him, to bring his kingdom into this world and make it a reality. And so I think that is one of the things that Father Boyle does, is he tries to see these gangbangers, these youth, how God sees them. So he's not trying to bring to them Christ or God or to teach them. When he's with them, he sees the face of Christ. And is that encounter, then the whole dynamic is different. You're not going there to save the other or to teach the other. You're there to be with the other. And it is in that encounter with the other that then miracles can happen. One of the questions on the Pope Francis from the children's book is a question that a kid sent to the Pope that I'm sure all of us have. It's like, why doesn't God do miracles anymore like in the Bible? And the Pope says, he does. Look around. There are miracles everywhere. And that is one of the things that look at life through, in some way, God's eyes. And then you see the world and life in a different way. And that's, I think, when Jolan was talking about these reflections that we put together, one of the things is, whether they are famous people or not, there is a reflection of the holiness of life. And when Jolan was saying, you know, some people pray each story or each reflection every day, I think one of the reasons it works is because it is about finding God in your life right now, not necessarily only at church on Sundays.
And another question for Joelle, in light of the theme, and was really around the whole five topics, because I really find a lot of fruit in the words that, in the audio that we just heard and we're sharing here around work, struggle, love, death, and hope. And that is certainly something that, you know, someone like Father Greg Boyle or anyone that's really entrenched in ministry will encounter these five themes. And so, you know, maybe when we come back from break, we can, you know, get into that with Joelle. And so, you know, that was wonderful. Thank you, Santiago, for sharing that.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeterieschicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back. And the book Wisdom of Time, as we mentioned, is broken down into main categories. And Father Greg Boyle's category is hope. He's full of hope. He's also full of love. He's also full of accompaniment and living the gospel. He's always going to be focused on the glasses half full. How do we move through that? Now, Leah Chase is another woman that's featured in the stories, and she is actually a very famous restaurant entrepreneur, and her category is work. Now, the young people are worried about getting up for school, whether there's going to be a snow day, and how their friends are doing, and school seems like it's going to be forever. But for the vast majority of us, we do get to where work is a main component of our life. So if you could share a little bit about Leah and a little background.
Sure. So Leah Chase is a chef in New Orleans known as the Queen of Creole Cuisine. She also is the inspiration for the Disney film The Princess and the Frog. When we were gathering wisdom stories and we were taking a look at elders in the United States that we felt might have something to share with us and a deep faith in God as well, she sort of naturally emerged. And one of our young editors was brave enough to reach out to her in the hopes that perhaps she would reach back. And she did. So one of our youth, our young people, she was under 30 at the time, interviewed Leah for the book. And they built a wonderful relationship over time. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit of advice that Leah gave through the book. And here's what she says. And this is her message to young people about work. It was tough, but I learned to take that criticism and correct it. You don't buckle because that's what life's all about, darling. Somebody's always going to try to break you. You can try to do that to me, but I'm going to come back swinging every time. That's what young people have to learn to do today. If you criticize, look at it, then correct it, and you can move on. You don't stop. You don't stop when people criticize you. You keep going, and you do better every time.
How inspiring. Now, isn't that something that we should have by our bedside in our favorite book and our text, sharing with others? Because she's been there. And I believe one of the main challenges of her life was when she was actually reviewed. She had presidents there in her restaurant and famous people. And I think she got like a modest rating out of like a 5-star, which would just be crushing. Mm-hmm. It would just, oh my goodness, talk about a break. But I believe she also spoke about how it was her friends and the circle of people that God put into her life that helped to lift her up and to help her to continue on when she was just ready to throw her arms up. And so she knows. And so thank you for that beautiful inspiration, Joellen, and bringing her words to us. Now we're actually going to hear her words about her faith.
And I get to the point where I pray and I don't ask God for anything. I tell him what I want. I get up in the morning. And I get to the point where I pray and I don't ask God for anything. I tell him what I want. I get up in the morning and I say, look, Jesus, I'm going out here today. You have to help me. It's up to you. You have to help me. And when I get through the day, I go back home and I say, thank you. And that's it. And I keep going. But sometimes you have to tell him what you want.
You have to tell
God what you want. I want this. I want that. But people don't understand, if you believe in God as that superior being, he does not want you to, he gave you this earth. He wants you to enjoy everything on it and make it better. That's what you're here for. But people don't they don't stop to think about that. So sometimes you have to stop the mad rush and sit under a tree and look at it and go on and say, well, this is good. I will do something to keep this going. And that makes life a little bit easier.
And we'll be right back.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend. featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you highlights from the major Respect Life activities that recently took place in Chicago. We'll visit one of our local Catholic schools where teachers and students are embracing the concept of personalized learning. And we'll talk with the director of the Institute for Lay Formation at the University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein Seminary.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Welcome back. And Leah Chase, wow, wasn't that phenomenal? Oh, the wisdom here is incredible. Pablo, what did you think about that?
No, I think it was wonderful. I think it was amazing. Anytime that we get to hear people doing God's work in their own area where they are living, where they are sharing, where they are definitely there giving not only wisdom, but also hope and also a lot of these other things that we need, even faith to keep on going in whatever ways that we're able to. I just think that overall it's amazing to me that there are so many people that are out there doing such great work that I'm glad that we're highlighting them. I'm glad we're showcasing them. I'm very glad that we're taking a look at them. Because otherwise, you know, sometimes we may feel, where is God's presence? Where is God in the world? Where is God when these bad things are happening? And as I always like to share with the young adults and youth that I work with, or mainly the leadership that I work with, is like, it all comes down to what you're doing in relation to building God's kingdom, as we were talking earlier with Santiago. So I just find it that it was phenomenal. And just a little bit curious, and I know that I had touched on this earlier, but how did we arrive at coming up with these wonderful themes that quite frankly are, in my own personal opinion right now, I'm going to share this with you, are really intriguing, because you probably wouldn't think of, well, maybe outside of love and hope, you wouldn't think of work, struggle, and death as points of finding the Holy Spirit's wisdom. And I'm thinking about the leaders that I work with and how this stuff always gets put in the background. You know, this is what we do. This is what's happening. This is what's going on in my personal life. And a lot of the time, struggle and death and work and these other things and the hardships of love itself and the challenges that hope also presents. But how do we arrive at these themes and how can it serve as wisdom for some of our younger people, some of our younger audiences, but also our leadership as well that we're working with?
Sure. So you mentioned the Holy Spirit. I would say the Holy Spirit helped these themes emerge for us. We gathered over 200 stories, wasn't it, around 200? And we decided that we were going to read each of them and really pray on them and really reflect on them and see what naturally emerges. When we asked our cadre of people to go out into the world and collect these stories, we didn't go in and say, I want you to have a story on work or struggle or love or death. We said, we want you to go gather wisdom from people who have real stories to share about real life and where they found God in it. And when we collected the stories and we were sorting through them after we read them, these five themes bubbled up. These were the things that people wanted to talk about. They were the themes that people had something to say. And they were the themes where faith in God was absolutely necessary and also naturally emerged. Santiago, you sound like you look like you want to add something to this.
Well, and, you know, and I think, these naturally emerged as we were collecting the stories. But one of the things that if you look at them in some way, you know, work and love, struggle, death, and hope, to me, it's almost the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ as well. And so these are our liturgical year, you know, how we go through all those. And so it is amazing that organically when we collected the stories, these themes came up, and it is, you know, in some way mirroring, you know, to a certain extent, the life of Christ and what we are called to. And so how we, you know, and it is not a coincidence that the last one is hope, the last section of the book. And it is, to me, it says, you know, life is holy in all the stages. And for the young people especially that can get down, you know, having taught and you, Pablo, you know, with the youth ministry, you know, sometimes the young people are having a hard time growing up or becoming an adult or finding out what it means to be an adult, and say, in that struggle, in those, there is God as well, and having Jesus as a model of how to go through that. But anyway, I just think it is amazing how this just came up because of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that.
And if I can just interject, the reason why I'm saying that they're very intriguing is, and just in this while that we've been here sharing and learning, one of the things that I always like to share with any leader that I work with in ministry, that especially around formation, it's the importance of connecting our everyday life with our faith, especially in the context when we think that our faith is only in the temple, inside of the parish. And when we come outside, it's if we don't have access to the temple or the parish, we sometimes feel that God stays there. But I think that these five themes really do help us connect back directly to our faith and to Christ and to Jesus and basically to God and in ways that can happen in every single moment. I often wonder, I know that we're Loyola Press here, but at the same time, I'm also very motivated by St. Benedict's work as you pray, or let your prayer be your work. And mm-hmm. And in thinking about that, how and where do I find the strong experiences of God within these five areas that possibly I probably as a person wouldn't even think to use my moments of struggle to find grace within them. So I just think it's extraordinary how, yeah, everyday life can lead you back to the Father through Jesus. So I think it's incredible.
Yes, that is really amazing how there is so much wisdom at our fingertips, and how I love the way Leah, what she focused on was attitude. Do we get up and do we say, this is good? God gave this to me. This is, as far as the meal is concerned, it's the dessert, all the sweetness. And, or do we wake up and go, oh, things are rough? So, and her relationship is amazing with God. The way she, Joelle and I had talked, and I said, she reminds me of Job. And the scripture, turn to the scripture. And when we return, that's where we're going to go, right into the heart of the scripture.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fuselier from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Welcome back, and we are talking about Scripture and the significance of Scripture. Why is it Scripture in the Bible is something that we always want in our day, in our hearts? We want to take the gospel forward. It is very inspiring. We pray the Holy Spirit gives us time to do that because our days go by so fast. But our Holy Father practices this. He does call upon the Holy Spirit, and he turns to Scripture. And for the inspiration for this book, he did exactly that. Joanne, would you like to share more with us?
Absolutely. So really, the inspiration from this book came from the Holy Father. He had been praying and contemplating on Joel 3:1, and the scripture says this, "Your elders will dream dreams. Your young people will see visions." And he was praying and asking God to help him illuminate that verse and help him gain some insight. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the book because, comes from the Holy Father. These are his words. "What does this mean? Only if our grandparents have the courage to dream and our young people imagine great things, will our society go on. If you want to have a vision for our future, let our grandparents tell us. Let them share their dreams with us. We need grandparents who dream. They will be able to inspire young people to move forward creatively as they envision a future." And then he sort of ends this piece in the book where he says, "Here's what I would like, a world that lives in a new alliance of young and old." And so when we developed this book and it was based on his inspiration, we actually launched the book at the Synod on Youth. Pope Francis presented the book to youth and elders alike, and we were able to bring in three young people who asked the Pope questions, and then three youth. who asked the Pope questions. And during this Synod on Youth was when we were able to share with the world his wish, which is for youth to listen to the elderly, to open their hearts, and for everyone to learn from one another and move forward together.
Absolutely amazing. Very beautiful. Now, so we take the message forward, and we want to take it into the parishes, into the youth, into the hearts of the seniors. How can we do that?
Well, and I think that was, you know, we launched the book, the Pope presented the book at the Synod, and now it's like, what do we do now with it? It is good to read and to reflect on this. But Loyola Press, one of the things we are trying to do is, you know, is launch an unofficial movement of this wisdom and this alliance between the youth and the elders, whether it is at home, in the family. So in our own families, do we listen to grandpa and grandma? Or does the parish facilitate those conversations in the family or in the parish through the youth ministry or religious education or whether it's through the senior groups? So are the parishes creating the opportunities for this intergenerational dialogue? That has to be a true dialogue. And also in our communities. Oftentimes we send the youth to the nursing home to help, but do we say, well, go and listen and talk to them, have a conversation so that we also respect the dignity of the elders and not just as somebody who receives help, but somebody that can share that wisdom that the Pope talks about. And so at all levels, the family, the schools, the parish, and even at the diocesan level, are we creating an opportunity where the dignity and the dreams and the visions of both the elders and the youth are respected and can go into a true dialogue and conversation as joint missionary disciples?
And there is a website, I believe?
Right. So the website is called sharingwisdomoftime.com. It does not have the. The name of the book is Sharing the Wisdom of Time, but the website is sharingwisdomoftime.com.
Excellent. We want to thank you both for being with us. And to close our show, we're going to leave the words of Desmond O'Grady, Father Desmond, who is from the UK. He has had dementia, Alzheimer's, and it's really changed his life. So he has a new focus. And here is his wisdom.
And that's a great thing about being open about it. You know, once it's out there and said, people can then say to you, this is my name, or, you know, put it into the conversation in some way so that you know. What is it like being you today in the sense of, do you remember yesterday, or when you go now from me today and say by tonight, will you remember that you've done this interview?
I don't know. It's very unpredictable. I remember some things and I don't remember others. I think the things that would have a high emotional charge stay. Things that are business, things that are items of information, disappear very quickly. And names were never very strong an item with me, but I'd remember the face, and the face would come back, and then I'd say, I know who I was with today.
And would all the associations come with that, say, as well?
Oh, how do I know? Certain associations come back anyway. And yes, I mean, I think at the affective level, in many ways, I think I'd be much freer now than I would have been before, because I would have focused more on the knowledge before. Now I just see people and the whole sense of the, you know, the relationship, not in terms of the acts or the deeds, but the affection, the ease, the enjoyment and so on with people. That's there very, very clearly.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.